Welcome to Kinsey Confidential. This is your opportunity to ask questions about sex and have them answered. I'm Dr. Debbie Herbenick, a sexual health educator at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. Here is today's question.
My partner and I recently started having sexual intercourse, and neither one of us are virgins. We are having problems, though, as he has a lot of girth or circumference to his penis, and I have only been with one other person, so I am not the right size for him. Another problem with this is that I am on a low estrogen birth control, and so I have difficulties with vaginal lubrication, but he doesn't like to use lube. Is there anything I can do to make it easier for us and easier for me to get lubricated vaginally?
Love, attraction, and sexuality are complex. It can be challenging enough to find a partner who's attractive, smart, interesting, exciting, and compatible in ways that are important to you. To find someone who has all of those qualities and whose body fits with one's own can be an even bigger challenge. Fortunately, human beings are adaptive. We look for ways to make our lives and our bodies fit comfortably with that of our partner. Because estrogen is associated with vaginal lubrication, some women do notice a change in their vaginal lubrication when they use a low-dose estrogen birth control pill. Then again, many women notice differences in their vaginal lubrication throughout their menstrual cycle and regardless of whether or not they're using a hormonal method of birth control like the pill. If you would like to try another type of pill or another form of birth control to see if it makes a difference to your vaginal lubrication, ask your healthcare provider about your options. Many women find that they can enhance their ability to become wet through vaginal lubrication by spending more time doing the kinds of things that they find sexually arousing prior to attempting vaginal penetration, whether that means sexual intercourse, fingers, or a toy. For many couples, this means spending more time in foreplay, more time spent kissing, touching over and or under the clothes, breast touching, back massages, or time spent doing things to your partner's body that you find exciting or arousing. It may also be worth exploring your feelings about this partner, as you didn't mention how you feel about him. Do you like him, love him, or are you romantically or sexually attracted to him? It may be worth sitting down and talking with your partner during a time when you're not about to have sex, and sharing with each other what you each find exciting, arousing, and most pleasurable as part of your sexual play. When a woman becomes sexually aroused, vaginal lubrication tends to increase, and a process called vaginal tenting occurs, whereby the uterus tips upward, making the vagina grow in length and width, allowing more room for your partner's larger size. It is worth noting that although there is some amount of vaginal expansion that occurs with sexual intercourse experience, the fact that you have limited sexual intercourse experience is not to blame in terms of sex being uncomfortable for you two, and your vagina is unlikely to enlarge permanently as a result of having sex with your new partner. The vagina is muscular, and it tends to return to its typical size internally, even though the vaginal entrance itself may enlarge with sexual experience or other types of experience, such as having a vaginal birth. Also, as wondrous a process as vaginal tenting may be, there is a limit to the amount of tenting that occurs. A vagina can only grow so much. If your partner's size is considerable in relation to your body, then a personal lubricant may be necessary in terms of enhancing your pleasure, minimizing discomfort or pain, or simply making intercourse possible at all. That said, lubricants vary considerably in terms of their consistency, and it may be that you two might want to try different types of lubricants so that you can find one that feels good for both of you. Some stores and websites such as Good Vibrations, check out goodvibes.com, sell lube sampler packs for just this purpose. Learn more about lubricants and other ways of making sex feel more comfortable in Sex Made Easy, Your Awkward Questions Answered for Better, Smarter, Safer Sex.
You can become a fan of Kinsey Confidential on Facebook and follow updates all week long. That's at facebook.com/KinseyConfidential or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Find out more at kinseyconfidential.org. Our next question.
My most recent pap smear came back abnormal. I had a colposcopy, and my doctor said that it looked like I had only mild cervical changes. He checked for warts, but did not find any. Can I still have sex with my boyfriend? What safer sex practices should we use, and for how long?
I'm sorry to hear about your diagnosis. While difficult, it may be reassuring to know that 60 to 80% of sexually active adults have had or will have the human papillomavirus. Many never know it. This is particularly true for men since we currently have no widely available way of testing men for HPV. In other words, your boyfriend may have HPV, but neither of you would know it unless he had visible warts diagnosed by a healthcare provider. It's even possible that you got HPV from him, but there is no way to know. There are more than 100 strains of HPV. Some are linked to genital warts, others may cause cervical changes which would show up on a Pap test. Most people's bodies appear to get over their HPV infection without it ever causing symptoms like warts or cervical changes. Most women who have an abnormal Pap test result have a normal Pap test result again within 1 year. It's important, however, to follow your healthcare provider's recommendations regarding repeat Pap testing and colposcopy testing, so good for you for doing so. It's a personal choice to have sex after a sexually transmissible infection diagnosis, so we cannot advise you on what to do. Since you've been together for a year and have likely been sexually active together for a while, it's possible that your boyfriend already has HPV, whether you gave it to him or whether he gave it to you. As HPV is transmitted skin to skin, condoms, which do not cover all of one's genital skin, cannot completely eliminate the risk of HPV transmission, although some research suggests that they may reduce the risk. An HPV diagnosis does not mean that you will get warts. You may not have a wart-related strain of HPV, and even if you do, you may never get warts or you may only get a few warts from time to time. Treatments are available for warts should you ever get them. Both you and your boyfriend can examine your genitals for changes in appearance, keeping in mind that there are many normal lumps and bumps on one's genitals that have nothing to do with HPV or other problems. You can learn more about HPV, abnormal Paps, warts, and normal lumps and bumps in the V-Book, A Doctor's Guide to Complete Vulvovaginal Health. If you smoke cigarettes, quitting smoking is a major step toward improving your cervical health. A great deal of research has connected cigarette smoking with HPV-related problems, including cervical changes and genital warts. Smoking cessation classes are available through many campus health centers and community groups. In addition, anything that helps your immune system, such as good sleep, relaxation, or having a healthy lifestyle, may be helpful. You can learn more about HPV in the STI section of our Kinsey Confidential website and on the website of the Centers for Disease Control, which is cdc.gov. At the CDC site, you can read detailed information about the new HPV vaccines, which are available to many women and men, even if they already have a diagnosis of HPV. Ask your healthcare provider for more information about this possibility.
Dr. Debbie Herbenik is a sexual health researcher and educator at the Kinsey Institute. Kinsey Confidential is produced by the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction, in partnership with WFIU Public Media from Indiana University. We need your questions. Submit them through our website, where you can listen to archived episodes of the podcast and read the blog. Find us online at kinseyconfidential.org.